This is another tape on a continuation tape, Biblical Approach to Death and Dying. This is the last part of caregiving applications. This will be tape 6. This is Dr. William Ammon. Let's continue to speak to you pastors a bit here. Need I talk about confidentiality at these times? That which he shares and shows are best to be treated as totally confidential. Never use the moments of weakness of your brother as illustrations from the pulpit. You might find yourself either being sued or looking for a new church. Minimally, you might offend some who are already going through some very rough times. Avoid the I know it all type of attitude. Nothing is worse than a know it all. You don't know it all. How about talking to him about dying? Some will talk easily and freely about death, but some will avoid it. Those avoiding it are probably in the stage of denial themselves. They are in a stage of denial. Don't give up. John Drescher, who wrote in Grief's Lone Hour, said this: death is the most important thing to prepare for, discuss, and understand. Just yesterday, I opened up the subject with a brother and did it this way. Brother, if God chose to take you home, how is your precious little bride prepared to handle your affairs? Felt awkward, but I didn't want her to be more confused than she would naturally be. Some men have made their wives so dependent upon them that when they died, their wife didn't even know how to pay the bills. Well, later I'll share how to properly prepare the family. A lot of things. Most of the time, this type of talk is received as an honest inquiry, but you must realize that they will be thinking, uh-oh, I must be going to die soon. It's hard to know the perfect time to, so pray a lot about it. Just be careful not to go deeper than you're prepared to handle. We do well to realize that some cultures actually restrict your ministry. The big boys don't cry attitude might hinder them quite a bit. Some cultures think that it's unmanly or childish to show weakness in any form. If that's how he feels or deals with life, just be there and allow them to share it. David Beeble offers us some advice, and he says, sometimes the heartbroken friend we're trying to help may be dying. And in this case, it's not so much a question of recovering as something else, coping, preparing, or even simply saying goodbye. In any case, we must allow them to lead as to where they are. They will talk when they're ready and will say what they want. Remember, it's their time. It's their life. The person who's dying usually isn't too fearful of talking about things important to him. Let them go. Loving care allows them the right and provides them the opportunity to share their deepest, deepest feelings. Okay? Let me share just one more thing that I've learned in my experience. You feel obligated to be there, allowing him to share all his needs, and some folks tend to forget that they have needs too. I understand that you are losing a relationship, that they are losing a relationship that held them together. Social, sexual, emotional needs go begging while you hold yourself obligated to meet his needs. This is a real, real tough and another argument for the fact that you must get support from a support group. Final word for you on a care, if you're doing a care team, Pastor, well, as a group, get used to listening to fears and frustrations of each other. Go around the circle, allow each other to share from their heart. Don't be threatened by that. This helps to reveal what they're like. You learn a lot. And when you're in you'll see what it's like to be in the heat of that kind of a spiritual battle. You men will also find this much more difficult than the ladies, for you seem to be more control-orientated. Ladies are more emotion-orientated. Just learn to carefully listen without displaying a great deal of emotion. But hugs and tears and songs and verses are all in order. I got to move a little more quickly here. I won't finish this in 2 tapes. Let's look at the R in love cares. Remember, comfort, allow, and the R is respond. My little poem, all I did was reach out my arms and she began to cry. It seems that she wanted It seems that all she wanted was to know I was nearby. My touch said, I'll take a part of the burden which grips your heart. I feel it's not so much, you see, for Christ stretched out his arms for me. Respond with a touch advice. Job says, have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O my friends, for the hand of God has touched me. For years now, I've been known as a huggy-huggy person. Maybe it's my insecurity that does that, but I am. I wrote a little track called, You Look Like You Need a Hug, which I give out to people as I travel around in the hospital and that. I explain in it, don't take me wrong, I'm not some kind of a pervert, but I can see their need. I've met folks who respond, I don't want a hug. In fact, one older person left my fellowship because I hugged. But many times I've heard, I really needed that. That's what I hear most of the time. In any case, reaching out to hug a person places yourself in a position of being rejected. And there are a few times when I felt very defensive because a person responded coldly. Here's some advice. You'll never do wrong by asking a person permission before you reach out and touch them. Persons are rarely offended if you ask, is it okay if I touch you or hug you? Remember, young pastor, don't go around with these big, long body hugs and that from young ladies and from women. Sure, it can be taken wrong. But I've found out that person who's in that bed and who's terminally ill, I could care less. Show your love in an appropriate way. Be loving and sympathetic for, quote, sympathy sees and says, I'm sorry. Compassion feels and whispers, I will help. I'd like to add, and touch, a touch of love says, I'm here for the long run. I want to walk you home. Let me boil it down to a simple suggestion. Give what you can, but don't try to give more than you're able. I know some of you don't like to hug, and that's fine, but you better be daring enough to offer a hand. If you're timid and afraid of rejection, I've found that if a person doesn't want a personal touch, they'll hold you off. Well, okay, let them hold you off. There's no big thing. God knows what's going on there. Don't you know that they can tell whether you're sincere or not? I love to watch how some Christians hug. It's as though each other had some sort of a rare debilitating disease. One sister responded to me, you have such warm hands. That was a sign to me that she was very sensitive to my touch. And I seemed to think she was telling me something about the coldness of her situation, and I was helping a little bit. Think so? Isn't it wonderful to think that with such a simple outreach of love, you can minister to a person's heart? After all, don't we want to make their day a little brighter and a feeling a little stronger? I wrote this little poem, too, called A Temporary Cure. Their eyes, their smile, their glow, let this simple man know a touch was sought for sure. God, please help me to share the balm of temporary cure. I want to be there. I want to touch. I want to minister. If you've been observant, perhaps you've noticed some family pictures around. Grab a hand and ask them about them. It might be wise to ask about the youngsters, for they draw attention it might not be wise to grab for the picture of their loved one, because it could add to problems. Old stories, old things. Remember, they're really great. We pastors go through moments which we know are gifts of God. Have you ever been there? I've had the privilege of visiting an elderly gent just a week before he died. The situation was that he and his wife were in the same room at home. In fact, their beds were close, but they couldn't see or touch each other easily. I was like a connecting rod between the two of them. I held each of their hands and then witnessed their final goodbyes. She began by saying words that I wish I could have recorded. She related beautifully how wonderful a husband he was and how they met and they courted. I would share precious memories and thoughts that he would share precious memories and thoughts that made me weep. I felt like a lightning rod as I was used by God to conclude their time on earth together. I'll never forget it, but kick myself for not recording it. That day, my my touch was important to them as God was. Pastors, nurses, givers, loving family members, you're involved in a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful privilege. Don't be showy or false. I encourage you, touch their bodies and hearts, but don't be false. When you are, you at times are asking them to respond in like manner, and then you might hinder the things that they're dealing with, right? Kubler-Ross adds this: Visitors are not desired if they come, the patient is no longer in a talkative mood. He often requests limitation on the number of people, prefers short visits. This is a time when the television is off. Our communications then become more nonverbal than verbal. The patient may just make a gesture with the hand and invite us to sit for a while. He may just hold our hand and ask us to sit in silence. Such moments of silence may be the most meaningful communications for people who are not uncomfortable in the presence of a dying person. We may together listen to the song of the bird from outside. And she was just saying the same thing I'm saying. You'd be there, and there's the touch, and there's the love, and something happened. Oh, by the way, Doc, warm up your hands before you touch a patient. I've heard more complaints from people who've said, you touch me with cold hands. Pastor, stick them in your pocket for a while. Warm them up. Don't reach out and touch them. Sometimes it's like shocking. Reach out and touch. Just be careful that when and where you place your hands, and just remember, some folks don't like to be physically touched, but don't get upset if you refuse. I have found most dying patients could care less. They love to be touched. Unless it is touching their hands, it is a good idea for you to ask, would you mind if I touched your shoulder? If you don't know the person, certainly ask permission. Spiritually, you're trying to bring them into a place where they feel the touch of the Master. Matthew 9:21 says, for she said within herself, if I might touch his garment, I shall be whole. Touch. Okay, let's get into the area of enlistment. This area is more for you, come into a home, or in a position of opportunity to enlist help for your dying loved one. My little poem called Loving Care Enlists. If one ever took the time to list the work it takes just to exist, when trying to keep my loved one home, I all but completely ceased to roam. At times I wish someone would come to let me enjoy just a little fun. If you for a while would come and care, I know I'd last with a lot less wear. I guess my dream above all would be that one would enlist others to help me. Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. I hold the utmost respect for the hospice movement. In fact, that very opinion made me take hospice training, the opinion of the kind of work they do. To try to bring a loved one home for his last days is the most noteworthy move. Without a doubt, if you can possibly medically do it, it is best for the patient. For to be able to be in a familiar environment does wonders for his frame of mind, which the experts tell us prolongs life and enhances healing. But it also involves a lot of work and dedication and is not easy to do. I do feel that the church will have to get into the scene as much as possible as we experience these things with these folks. I've listed a lot of things within the book, you know, about hugs and thank you cards and child care. Don't ever say, call me if you need anything. Look in your book on page 138 for these things. For the sake of time, I've got to get going here. There are tasks which involve driving, which need to be handled. They might need an opinion on something financial. Whatever the need is, the visitor can help. So do so. If you can't, why not arrange to have another person do something to meet their needs? All those little jobs they used to do will now be done by friends. One young lady who was serving her mom in her last days said, if they could only do it instead of telling someone about it, don't look around, do it. There are numerous tasks. George Harper, who wrote the book on living with dying, wrote this, numerous tasks which I did for myself before, I now need help in doing. Driving me to the hospital, running me to a store, or babysitting some become concrete expressions of caring, opportunities to experience the reality that we are all members of Christ's body and that we all need the support of others, unquote. A fellow told me how wonderful it was while he was in the hospital, someone was home cutting his lawn. Many, many things. Well, you get the idea. Be there. Get help for them. Open up your eyes and see the things that need to be done. You don't need a whole lot of training for that. You need a whole lot of love. So be open and to be ready and give your love. Go to the home. Remember, we've told you about observing. Look around. Be thinking who you have within your congregation that could do this job. Whether you have someone, maybe a retired person who could be doing some driving. Someone maybe who never speaks a word in church is real good at cutting lawns. You know, Pastor, trust me, this goes so far. When a pastor just visits the home and that person has a heavy care, and you just say, well, I'll get someone to do that. Or I'll make sure your prescription gets picked up. Or I'll make sure that something else gets done. Oh, it is just so comforting and helps them so much. Do it. And pray about it. Before you hit that home, God, help me to do some of these things that I learned in that Love Cares application. And whoever I can enlist to help with this family for this need, help me to do it. Now, finally, to push toward the end of this particular portion, in Love's Cares, the S for supplicate, and of course you think of prayer when you think of supplication. My little poem is, a walk in prayer on a sunny day with my brother in my heart provides a part of life oft missed by those afraid to start. The thought that I will walk him home means much to him and me, for God will walk beside us both, his revelation we will see. 1 Kings 8:49 says, then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause. That's supplication. To me, supplication is praying for someone who might not have the ability to pray for themselves. Isn't that neat? This is the pulse beat of this book. This is the part that will make the rest work. I'm not going to share the burden that actually led me to the writing of this book, but I'll say this. It came from me while I was walking with God. Now, there's always a tendency for some of you to not be as religious as you'd like to be, or I'm thinking you are or need to be to minister to a person. Don't skip this part, please, just because it seems more religious. Don't flick the tape off. If you're not religious and you don't know Christ, then you aren't alive. You need to be alive, especially to minister to a person who's dying. I've learned there are many members of the church and synagogues who do very little praying. There are many more who not only don't pray, but they don't believe in prayer, and many more who don't know how to pray. Regardless of your religious belief, you're entering into a world which requires strength beyond normal capabilities and understanding that which this book or any other besides the Bible can give. In short, you'll need the help that you don't realize now. Get with the program. As a shepherd, I've had to go through many traumatic experiences with the flock that the Lord has put me under. But no experience is as difficult to deal with as spending the last months, weeks, days, hours, and minutes with the person with whom you've learned to love. You're there to give comfort and support to not only your brother, but also to his family. These times are times that you feel the most challenged. If your prayer life is not up to date, you and they will suffer. These can be times when you reach back into some old experience or pray a dull deadhead, ecclesiastical prayer, which by nature is long and inadequate. I've done that just like the rest of you have. In our defense, we too may be deeply involved in difficulties of our own and overwhelmed with the many other problems involved with the pastorate. Please turn your tape over and let's continue this on the other side.